Okay, so this seminar is new in that we are focusing on how to conduct an evangelistic prayer ministry team.
Will you be using the projector?
No, not today. So I am showing you how, I'm showing you the sequence, how to do it. So the personal reflection, you go to page 10. And you see personal reflection. Can you see the prayer points at the top? Personal reflection. How you see that? Okay, so let's read it. Okay, so that's a personal reflection. It's not a prayer they pray aloud. Each of the intercessors would pray those prayers silently. It's a prayer of cleansing, asking God to cleanse us. Asking God to cleanse us so that you pray those five prayer points. Okay, that's what you do. So let's go back to the outline. Yeah, so that's the personal reflection. First the Bible study, then the personal reflection. It's very important. If you don't, you need to ask the intercessors to pray that prayer. It's a prayer of clearing the king's highway so that the intercessors are clean vessels in the hands of God. Okay. Then up from the personal reflection, you go to the first Bible study. It's very important that you do Bible studies before you start to pray together. And the Bible study, here is the method of the Bible study. I'm on, back on page 5. Back on page 5. Okay, the Bible study method would be read, meditate, share. That's the method of the Bible study. Read, meditate, share. In your Bible study. So let's practice the Bible study method. It's very important. If you have your Bible or your telephone, I want you to practice the method of Bible study. Okay, you can use it in small groups, and you can use it in your prayer room, the Bible study. So go with me to Psalm 63. Verses 1 to 2. Psalm 63, 1 to 2. Everybody, find it in your Bible. I'm going to show you how to do the Bible study in the prayer room. This is a very important skill that you need to master, because that's what gives the intercessors power to pray. If they do not know how to study the Bible, they will not have any power to pray. Okay, so Bible study. Isaiah 63, 1 to... What did I say?
You said Psalm.
Psalm 63, yeah. Psalm 63. 1 to 2. Let's read it. What it says.
Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory.
So it says, Oh God, you are my God. Early in the morning will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My soul longeth for you in a dry and thirsty land. No. Reflect upon these verses. Listen to these verses now. Reflect on what is God saying to you in these verses. Now, what he's saying to you, not to your husband, not to anybody, to you. What is God saying to you in these verses? Silently, reflect on it. Okay, lovely. Now, this is how you reflect on the verse. Watch this. Watch what I'm doing. In my reflection, I'm saying, God is saying to me, Samuel, okay? God is saying to me, Samuel, I am the only one who can satisfy the thirst of your soul. You may have many needs. You may have need for food. You may have need for education. You may have need for money. You may have need for a house. You may have need for whatever. But when it comes to your soul, I am the only one who can satisfy the desire of your soul. In a dry and thirsty Canada, where there is a lot of smoke in the air, and where sometimes the place is dry, but when it comes to your soul, I am the only one to satisfy the soul. You notice what I'm doing? I am reflecting upon what God is saying to me. I'm not talking about what God is saying to somebody else. I'm saying what God is saying to me. So that's what you call a Bible study. You read the text. After you read the text, you reflect upon what God is saying to you. Each of the intercessors reflect upon what God is saying. So we're going to practice it again. Come with me to Psalm 91 and verse 4. Okay. We have some more friends how many of you would like to receive the document? Okay, raise your hand so you can receive the document. Yeah.
What did you see,
Psalm 91 verse 4. I'm showing you how to give a Bible study in the prayer room. Psalm 91. And 4. Let's read it. What it says. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his shall you trust. Go on, read on. Okay, so in this psalm, I want you to reflect upon the verse. Reflect upon the verse. What do you hear the Holy Spirit say to you in this verse? No, reflecting, silently reflect, meditate upon it. That's the Bible study. Okay, lovely. Thank you. Somebody share with me. What has God revealed to you from this verse? Share with me. Anybody? Brilliant, mother. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Go on. Yeah. He promised. You hear God saying to you that he promised to be a shelter to you. Continue. Brilliant, excellent, excellent. That's internalization. She reads the verse, she listens to the voice of God, and she's now saying that God says he will be my protector, he will be my shield. She's not talking about her husband or anybody else. She's talking about herself, what God says to her. So in the Bible study, the intercessors internalize the word. As you internalize the word, it gives you power to pray effectively. All right, so that's the internalization of the scriptures. So this is what God. Let's practice another one. Come with me to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Okay, I'm going to read it and listen to it. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61 verse 1. Okay? Let's read it together. You found it? Let's read it together. Beautiful verses. Let's read. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, reflect upon these verses now. What do you hear God saying to you in these verses? Reflect upon them silently. Excellent. Share with me, anybody. What do you hear God saying to you in these verses?
Go to the rock. This is my salvation and my delight and my strength. Everything comes
Brilliant, excellent. When you're overwhelmed with life's problems and difficulty, you can go to the rock, you can go to Christ, who will be able to provide you with the security and the refuge in the times of trouble. Brilliant, excellent.
I just agree with what you said.
Okay, Ron, lovely. She is affirming you. She's saying that you are brilliant, and she wants to know which university have you been to. Brilliant, brilliant. Very good. Good reflection. So you see the idea of the Bible study? It is not where you're explaining the text to other people. It is where you're saying what it is saying to you. So you read, then you meditate, reflect on it, and you allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit has the power to teach you? Excellent. So that's how you do the Bible study in the prayer room. Even in your home, in your family, worship with your children. Do not try to explain the text every time. Allow them to read the text and then help the children or the youth to reflect upon and share what God is saying to them. Internalize it. Personalize it. God is saying to me X. God is saying to me Y. God is saying to me so and so. Normally people say God is saying to us. No, you don't want us or them. But God is saying to me, personalize it, okay? I'll give you another practice. Come with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, 1 to 2. Psalm 51, 1 to 2. I'm demonstrating how to give a Bible study in the prayer room. It's different from a regular Bible study where you're giving to a person who is not a member of your church, okay? 51, 1 to 2, verses 1 to 2. Let's read it together. Everybody find it. Let's read. I'm demonstrating the Bible study methods.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude
of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Okay, we stop right here. So, reflect upon these two verses. What do you hear God saying to you in these two verses? Reflect upon them silently. Yes. Okay, excellent, brilliant. Somebody share with me, what do you hear God saying to you in these two verses? Who would be first? Somebody who have not shared before. What do you hear God saying to you in these two verses?
First of all, we're asking for mercy from God to cleanse us.
No, talk about yourself. Talk about yourself. Yeah, brilliant, excellent, yeah. Mm-hmm.
From all of my iniquity and sins that I have committed.
Excellent, brilliant. Yeah. Very good. You hear God saying to you that I am able to cleanse you, I am able to purify you, I'm able to make you a clean vessel in my hands.
Yeah.
Lovely, brilliant. Very good. Very good. So that's the internalization. This is how you conduct the Bible study. It's read, meditate, share. What's the method? Read, meditate, share. Okay, you share with each other, you share with the pastor. So I'll give you one more and you're going to practice it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit in groups of twos. Sit in groups of twos. If you're not sitting with somebody, sit in groups of twos, because I'm going to show you how you share. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you can sit in groups of twos, and I give you one more. Come with me to Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Yeah, Isaiah 61, 3, the beautiful verses. And I'm going to read it, you follow. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I read it again. Follow everybody. Beautiful verses. These are powerful verses. If any one of you have any problem, this is the verse for you. This is a powerful verse I use for a lot of solving many problems that people may have. Look at this. To comfort all who mourn in Zion. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now reflect upon these verses for a moment. Reflect upon these verses for a moment. No, don't write reflect. Keep your eyes in your Bible. Now, what do you hear God saying to you in these verses? What do you hear God saying to you in these verses? Share with the person next to you. Now, personalize it. Call your name. Call your name. Talk about yourself, okay? Don't use the word us. Don't use the word them. Don't use the word we. Talk about yourself. Personalize it. Share with the person what God is saying to you in these verses. No, just verse 3. 61 verse 3, yeah. Talk about yourself. Keep it focused on I. God is saying to me, okay? Keep it focused there. Okay, thank you. Now watch, I'm demonstrating it. Thank you. You're all involved. I'm demonstrating. I hear God saying to me, Samuel, I want to engage in a business transaction with you. Are you hearing how I'm internalizing it? Samuel, I want to engage in a business transaction with you. I want to take away your ashes and give you beauty, Samuel. Yeah. Samuel, I want to take away your mourning and I want to give you the oil of joy. Samuel, I want to take away your spirit of heaviness and I want to give you the garments of praise so that you, Samuel, will be called a tree of righteousness planted in Canada. When everybody see you, they will see that how God has planted you and made you a tree of righteousness, planting of the Lord that gives glory to God. Amen. That's internalization. Now when you do that kind of internalization, the converts, the intercessors are internalizing the scriptures, and it gives them power. It also cleanses them from sin, and they begin to see that God wants them to be pure vessels in his hands. Are you with me? This is called inflow. What is it called? Inflow. Where you are allowing the word of God to impact your heart personally. It's called inflow. All right? Very important principle in the prayer room. Never do not preach in the prayer room. Do not explain scripture in the prayer room. Simply reflect what the scripture is saying to you as an individual in the prayer room. Yeah, what it's saying to you. Remember that? I give you one more practice, because I want you to grasp it. If you master this, then you master the whole secret of guiding the intercessors. And you can use this not only for the prayer room, in your family worship, if you have children of the ages of 6 and 8 and 10 and 12, instead of you trying to explain scripture, you ask them to read the scriptures, then you have them reflect for a few minutes on the verse that they have read, and then ask them to share with you, what do you hear God saying to you in these verses? It's very powerful, very, very powerful, and they will share with you what God is saying. You can also ask them to draw a picture of what you hear God saying to you in the verses. Okay, draw a picture, or you can ask them to sing. So here are some methods you can use. Okay, you can ask them to read, meditate, share. All right, that's one. You can ask them to read, meditate, draw. That's to draw a picture. You can ask them to read, meditate, sing. Yeah, sing. Yes. If there's young people in your home, in your family worship, you can ask them to read, meditate, and put it into drama. And let the young people put it into drama right in the family worship or in the Wednesday night service. Different methods, okay? But in the prayer room, you can focus strictly on read, meditate, share, all right? So I give you one more for practice, and I want you to read, meditate, and share. Give you quickly, let's get one. Okay. Come to Psalm 60, 62, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 62, 1 to 3. Yeah. 1 to 2. Verses 1 to 2. Let's read it. It says, "Truly my soul silently wait for God. From him come my salvation, and he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. He shall not, I shall not be greatly moved or removed." Yeah. You see these verses? Very good verses. Let's read it again. Everybody reading. You love these verses? Yes. Now reflect upon these two verses silently. What is God saying to you in these two verses? So there is silence in the prayer room. And now share with the person next to you, what is God saying? What did God say to you in these two verses? What do you hear God saying to you in these two verses? Internalize it. Talk about yourself. Say that God is saying to me. Begin your like this. Share with the person next to you, what do you hear God saying to you in these two verses? Okay, brilliant. Very good. Thank you. Now you can use this. You can call someone on the phone tonight. Call someone on the phone tonight. Have them read the text. Then have them reflect silently on the phone. And then ask them, what do you hear God saying to you in the verse? Very powerful. The moment they begin to reflect upon the verse, the Holy Spirit begins to take their mind to think. Watch this. Look at this. When you read the text, and in the moment of reflection and meditation, the Holy Spirit comes over the person and brings conviction and bring ideas to the person's mind and begin to transform the mind. And then they respond back to God and say, this is what God is saying to me. It's personal. It's internalized. Are you with me? This is called inflow, where you allow the word of God. You can use it with your son, your daughter, your husband, anybody. If you have small groups, you can use your visitors. Use it with the visitors. If you have an evangelistic campaign, this is very effective. This is allowing the word of God to impact the human mind and to internalize the situation. So this is, you use...
Like this, what is the verse say to you, right? The verse? This is what you think? What does the verse say to you?
Yes. You ask, you call the person on the phone and you ask them to read the verse. Then pause for a moment on the phone and then ask them to reflect upon the verse silently. Don't explain the verse. Never explain it in a Bible study, in intercessory prayer. Ask them to reflect upon the verse. What do you hear God saying to you in the verse? And the person will tell you what they hear God saying to them. And then you can also tell them what you hear God saying to you. So what they share with you and what you share, they get a holistic understanding of the verse. Is that clear?
Very clear.
And then after this is done, is when you pray for the person, very effective. You pray for the person after the reflection. So here we come to the next thing. After you conduct your first Bible study in the prayer room, then you go to their prayer points. You see, look at number 4, page 10. I'm at page 10. Everybody in this, page 10. This is what we're working with here. Page 10. All right. I said page 10, page 5. Sorry. I don't know how I reached page 10. Page 10 is where I have the prayer point. Page 5. Sorry. Page 5. Let's read that together. Everybody, since you have the document, let's read it together. What it says. No, that's not everybody reading. Number 4 on page 5. Read the prayer point. The thing. Prayer points. Prayer coordinator. Okay, so you go to page 10 now. Go to page 10 and you see the prayer points. See, these are the prayer points, okay? See? Page 10, you have the prayer points there. So let's look at the one for the Holy Spirit and let's read it. Now, this is how you introduce the prayer points to them. You say, okay, we are going to pray for the Holy Spirit, all right? We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. And then you read the prayer points to the intercessors. Okay, so that they can know what we're going to pray for. And listen how I'm reading it, so that it remains in their mind and they know clearly what they're going to pray, that God people will be rebaptized. Notice the word I emphasize, rebaptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. So even though they don't remember the whole sentence, they remember the word rebaptized. Are you with me? Pray that God's people will be rebaptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. 2. Pray that God will move upon his church. He will move his church towards greater dependence. Underline that word. Greater dependence upon the might and the power of the Holy Spirit. So you emphasize key words. Pray that the church members will receive a clearer understanding of Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit. And finally, pray that God's Holy Spirit will convict sinners of truth and of righteousness. So you notice how I'm preparing you to pray. I'm preparing you to pray by telling you exactly what we're going to pray for. We're not praying for the evangelists. We're not praying for good weather. We're not praying for more food. We're not praying for finances. We're not praying for larger attendance. We are praying specifically here for the Holy Spirit. Why? This is how prayer works. Watch this. Prayer moves in a straight line. It must be clear and it must be focused. You must hit the target. You must not be praying like this and include breadfruit, mango, orange, all kinds of things in the one prayer. If you're praying for a specific thing, focus on that specific thing. It must be very specific. When you read the Bible, the prayer is always very specific. It's called a prayer point, a prayer focus. So that you pray for the specific things. Here, so we're going to pray, all right? And so you read the prayer points first. After you have read the prayer points, you say we're going to pray in groups of twos. You tell them the formation, groups of twos, or we're going to pray in groups of four, or we're going to pray silently. You tell them exactly what we're going to pray for. So how do you introduce the prayer points? First, read it. Emphasize the key words. In this case, rebaptism, greater dependence, clearer understanding, convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Then you begin to sing. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this. Okay, stop. Thank you. Very good. Excellent. Brilliant students. Excellent. Brilliant. Now, before you sing, you tell them that we're going to pray in groups of twos. So the moment you begin to sing, they will stand and begin to move in groups of twos while you are singing. So tonight, we're going to pray in groups of twos. So while I'm singing, I want you to find yourself a prayer partner. You're going to pray in groups of two. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Group together. And I know. of the Lord. Okay, let's get ready to pray. Now, because we are practicing, you can keep your eyes open. You can keep your eyes open and you can just pray the prayer points, okay? But when you develop the skill, you'll be able to pray from memory by without having to look at your prayer points. So just for practice here, since we are doing the training, just for practice, keep your eyes open and pray in groups of twos. Each of you take two of the prayer points there on the Holy Spirit and pray together. Yeah. Yeah, pray together in groups of twos. Pray now, yes. Okay, thank you. Cool. So you get the concept, okay, of the prayer points. You read it first to the intercessors. Then after you have read it to them, you tell them how they're going to pray in groups of twos or threes or fours. And after this, you sing a song, just the first stanza. You don't say, okay, let's go to the hymnal and sing. You just sing spontaneously, okay? You just sing spontaneously an appropriate song. Just the first stanza, and then they let them pray. Okay, continue on page six. One of the things, prayer walk. You see that? What is a prayer walk? A prayer walk would be if you have 20 intercessors in the prayer room. If you have 20 intercessors in the prayer room, or 5 intercessors, or 6 intercessors, during the song service, listen to this now, during the song service in the evangelistic campaign, you can take 2 of the intercessors from the prayer room and send them to walk around the church. Just praying and asking God. What are you praying for? Asking God to bring deliverance. Asking God to bring large attendance of visitors. Asking God to bind the forces of darkness and to give us deliverance tonight. They just walk around the church silently, just walk with their eyes open silently around the church. Nobody have to know that they are praying. They just walk around the church silently for about 10 or 20 minutes and just asking God to give deliverance to the church and deliverance to the meeting and bind the forces of darkness. They can quote texts like, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Are you with me? That's a prayer walk. And the theology of the prayer walk is dominion. God gives you authority over darkness and the spirit of it, so that you can have them do. So don't send all the intercessors. The rest remain here and continue praying. But you send 2 persons or 3 persons out prayer walking. It's very, very effective. Any question? It's not you, sister, you had a question? It's clear? Okay, lovely. So that's the prayer walking that you do. And then, while in the prayer, you can always have the Spirit of Prophecy book. You can have Step to Christ and just read one paragraph to the intercessors on a particular topic. Don't explain it. Just read it. One paragraph only, and you move on. Methods of prayer. Methods of prayer. There are different methods of prayer. You notice I have them here: the Acts method, the part method. And various methods there. You also have silent prayer, written prayer, group prayer, round robin prayer, different types of prayer. Are you noticing on page 6? Different methods. Underline the different methods. Number 7, different types of prayer you can use in the prayer room so that they don't pray the same way all the time. Sometimes you can use the part method, the acts method, okay? Then you can use a hymnal prayer. What is a hymnal prayer? A hymnal prayer would be you just take a hymn and you read the you pray the verses. Okay, like what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That's a hymnal prayer. See, a hymnal prayer. Then there's another, a wrong robin prayer. You can go around in circle and everybody offer one sentence of prayer. That's a wrong robin prayer. So you see, I'm giving you different methods so you don't do the same way all the time in the prayer when you use different approaches. That's called a wrong robin prayer. Everybody give a sentence prayer. A silent prayer is where they can just pray silently, and at the end of the prayer you sing a song. So they say, let's pray silently, and they're praying, everybody's praying silently, and you break the silence by singing the first stanza of a song. That's another method. A written prayer. A written prayer can be, you can ask each of them to write out their prayer to God. You know, to take your notepad and write out your prayer. That's a written prayer. They write it out to God.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yes, it's a good one. Children, your young people, anybody in the prayer, let them write out their prayer. Lots of people write out their prayer. And we almost full today. Yes. Okay. Another powerful way of prayer is it's a Bible prayer. You can take the prayer. Example, you can go for take one of the prayers in the Bible and just read it. Okay. Yes. Oh, the group prayer is when you ask them to pray in groups of twos or groups of threes or groups of four. That's a group prayer. Yes. So you can say, okay, we will now pray in groups of twos or groups of threes or groups of fours. That's group prayer. Another important prayer is scriptural prayer. You can take the prayer, example, Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. That's a prayer of Nehemiah. And you can just have them read the prayer. That's a powerful prayer. Just read the prayer in the Bible. That's another way of praying. Jehoshaphat's prayer, Hezekiah's prayer. You just have them read the prayer. This is called a scriptural prayer. It is not written here. I don't have it in here, but you can add it. A scriptural prayer. So then just read one of the prayers of the Bible. Very, very effective.
Wow.
Another one I didn't have here is called the boomerang prayer. The boomerang prayer. What is the boomerang prayer? You have them pray, but they must quote a scripture in the prayer. What is the boomerang prayer? Example, Father, I pray for Sister Joan today who is sick, and I claim your promise that says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. I'm quoting the scriptures in the prayer. That's Isaiah 58 and verse 8. That's called a boomerang prayer. So when God hears the prayer, he hears his word coming back to him. Are you with me? Very, very effective. Very, very effective. When you're praying for your children, example, if you want your children to inspire them to be obedient, you're praying for them and you say, Lord, I claim your promise that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you're praying for your daughter-in-law, and you go to a home and she provides nice food for you, and you're praying for your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law, and you're praying, you can quote a verse of scripture in the prayer. Yeah.
When they ask you to pray on the table.
Yes, when they ask you to pray at the table, you can quote a verse of scripture. Father, we thank you for Okay. So these are different methods of prayer. Before I want to demonstrate one to you. I'm going to demonstrate one that is not here. It's called the concert of prayer. What is it called? The concert of prayer. In that prayer, you have three responses. One, the person can quote a verse of scripture. Another person can sing. Another person can give a brief testimony. Or another person can pray. So four different responses. So in the concert of prayer, people give different responses. So we're going to demonstrate that to show you how it works. Okay, a concert of prayer. In this concert of prayer, you can respond different ways to God. You can give a brief testimony. You can quote a verse of scripture. You can sing a song, or you can pray. All right. So let's practice it to show you how it works. I'm going to begin with a prayer, and the next person would give a short testimony, and the next person can give a verse of scripture, and the next person can sing a song. Okay, so let's see how it will work. We're going to go practice. Let us pray. We're going to have a concert of prayer, and I will begin. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to conduct a concert of prayer. Grant us the power of your Holy Spirit. Who will be the next?
Holy Spirit,
Uh-huh. Join her. Mm-hmm. Brilliant, excellent. Next.
Father, thank you this afternoon for the promise where you said we confess our sins. You're faithful enough to forgive us our sins. But oh Father, you've also said you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we pray for the forgiveness that we long for.
Excellent, brilliant.
Father, we find comfort in your word that says, haven't you heard that they will ask of God, the Lord, the creator of hosts of the earth, they cannot. Neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even youths shall faint to be weary, young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Father, we trust in you today because we know that you are given. We thank you, Lord, because your word says that those who trust in you are like Mount Zion, which shall never be shaken. So we will not be shaken because you are our rock and our refuge. We trust in you today.
Amen. I testify that during this camp meeting, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. God has been very good to me during this camp meeting and to my wife and to the entire family today. God has been good to us. This is my testimony. God has been good to us.
Amen.
Continue.
2 Chronicles 20:17, you have said, all concerning the battles which each one must fight, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord is with you.
Amen. Excellent. So this is the concept of prayer. So you notice different responses. Some person sing, another person give a testimony, somebody quote a scripture, you heard Pastor Farrar quoting from memory, the scripture you heard over here quoting scripture from memory. That's called a concert of prayer, where you have four different responses towards God. Either a testimony, either a scripture, a prayer, or a song. Very interesting. It makes your Wednesday night service lovely, or your family worship lovely, or your prayer room lovely with different responses. These are different methods of prayer. So make your worship, your family worship interesting and excited for the children, for the grandchildren, and with using the different methods of prayer. Okay? Now, so this is the different the methods. Then the supplication prayer. Supplication prayer is where you're presenting the specific needs to God and you're asking God for divine intervention. Then you should always have in the prayer room, you should always have a prayer basket. You remember when I said a prayer basket? Get a prayer basket and decorate it nicely with ribbons. You know, you put ribbons on the handle and you make it look really attractive, and put curtains inside or linen inside. Make it look nice so that when people come to the prayer room, the intercessors and the visitors, they can put their needs in the prayer basket, okay? And at a particular time in the prayer room, the intercessors will take those needs and present those needs to God. It's here, number 8. Yes, and then they put it back in the basket and the coordinator takes care of it, yes.
What do I do with it? After when people leave?
No, you keep it in the prayer basket, so you pray for it more than once.
Oh.
And when the campaign is ended, you give it to the pastor and the pastor will know what to do with it, yes.
Oh.
What are those? The four areas would be singing, testimony, prayer, and scriptures, quoting up the scriptures. The four responses to God. Okay? Notice the thing. When the inflow, when you reflect upon the scripture, then there is the outflow. And you have four responses to God. Prayer, singing, testimony, scripture. Now, an important thing in the prayer room when you are conducting the prayer room is personal testimony. The intercessors at a particular time, just before they can give testimony of answered prayer. All right? Testimonies of answered prayer. Okay, let's go to Let's go to page 7. Page 7 now, quickly. Page 7. Everybody go to page 7. What do you see here on page 7? Can you see this? Page 7 is the outline of what we just explained. Can you see that? The Bible study, the personal reflection, the Bible reading, personal reflection, Bible study, prayer point, encounter, prayer walk. This is the outline you follow in the prayer room. This is the outline. Everything right is right here. You follow in the prayer room. You follow this every night to be successful. Now, listen to this. I told you before, 1 hour before the pastor begins to preach, you begin to invite the visitors into the prayer room. Half an hour before visitors come to the prayer room, it is only for the intercessors to prepare themselves for the ministry of praying for the visitors. So the intercessors come half an hour before, they pray, they have personal reflection, they read the Bible together, and they reflect upon the scriptures, and then, yeah. No, the intercessors will come half an hour before.
But you said something when you backed up, you said an hour before.
The pastor preaches.
Yeah. But people don't come that way. The people come when the pastor's going to start to preach.
Okay. Well, they come when the pastor is about to preach, but you can adjust it at it towards the time when you know the visitors begin to come. However, but when the pastor begins to preach, you should not be praying for visitors in the prayer room. Okay, so you can adjust it based on your particular context, but the idea is, the principle is, to get the visitors into the prayer room before the pastor preaches. Did you get that? That's the concept. So I said an hour, but yeah.
I had a question yesterday, because I remember you had it. You showed us to us. Because we're in this prayer room, okay, and so you're bringing somebody in, and then you were standing in front of him, and then you had all these prayer intercessors. But when you have all these people, and you saw so many prayer intercessors, you can't be doing that. Because yesterday you called three people up and laid their hands on that person, and then you said that.
You mean, okay, if you have 10 persons coming to the prayer room?
Yeah.
Okay, let's example. I have 10 persons visitors coming to the prayer room right now. What would I do? I would not take them one by one. I have 20 intercessors here,
yeah,
and 10 persons coming. I would give each intercessor one person.
Right.
So two persons would raise their hand on one person. You get my point?
Yeah, I got it.
But if you have only one person coming to the room, and you have 10 intercessors, then you can have the intercessors put their hands on that one person. So if I have 30 intercessors coming, 30 visitors coming, and I only have 20 intercessors, then I give each intercessor three persons. And so in 5 minutes, in 6 minutes, I'm able to pray for everybody. Because each intercessor will ask the same question to the person before him. What would you like Jesus to do for you? Read the text, a text to the person, and pray for the person. And so in 5 minutes, you complete everybody. I want it to be clear. Is it clear to you? No. Keep on asking me. Yes. Brilliant.
I have to just do one at a time.
So I ask, friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you? He says, I would like Jesus to heal me. I ask the next person, what would you like Jesus to do for you? The person says, I would like Jesus to give me a new job. I ask the next person before me, friend, what would you like Jesus to do? He says, I am married for 10 years now and I cannot make a baby. I would like to have a baby.
Okay.
So you have three needs before you. And so now when you pray, you present all three needs before God. No, you only give them one scripture.
Oh, okay, one scripture.
Yes, you give them one.
Oh, yeah, and then you pray, and then they say a prayer of thanksgiving.
Yes, you ask God to forgive them for their sins.
Yeah.
You ask God to strengthen their faith as a group, and then you present each individual needs to God. And then you ask them now, each of them, to give a thanksgiving.
Okay, God, good
thanks. You got it?
Yeah.
Brilliant question. Brilliant. I want to know which university you have been to.
That one.
Okay. All right. Very good. Good. Okay. Good question. So you understand what you understand the principle? That if 20 persons come and the coordinator gave you 3 persons to pray for each person you ask, friend, what would you like Jesus to do? And you remember the need. You have to remember it. And now you pray and you ask God to forgive them for their sins. You ask God to strengthen their faith. And then you present each of their needs to God. God, remember the lady. I pray that you'll help this lady who would like to have a baby. Touch her womb, dear Lord. And the next time she goes on to her husband, bring forth bountifully, okay? The next person wants a job. I say, Father, you go through the length and breadth of Canada and provide her a job. You present her need to God. The next person who wants healing, Lord, I pray for her healing today. Touch her with your hands and bring healing. You present all the 3 needs to God, and then you ask each of them to give a prayer of thanksgiving. Yes.
God heals. Some people want, like, in a week to be healed. Sometimes it takes years. In years, God answers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like in His time.
Yes, in His time. But in the prayer, God answers promptly. Okay, in the prayer, because it's evangelism and God wants them to be saved.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what you do in the prayer room. Is anybody here for the first time? How many of you are here for the first time? Okay, lovely, excellent. Yes, I had a question. Somebody raise their hands. Yes, mother, yeah.
I'm having a hard time with picking a Bible verse that is close to what they ask for.
Brilliant, good question. Many people have that problem, even pastors have that problem also. So in the case where the person says, I would like you to pray that God would help me to have a baby. What verse would you find? You can go to Hannah, or you can go to a verse in the Psalms. I think Psalm 21 that says, "Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." Okay, but in case you can't remember a verse, just give them any verse. Yeah, in case you cannot remember an appropriate verse, just give them any verse. It will still work because it's the word of God. Yes, ma'am.
If you don't have a specific verse, you could give them a Philippians
4:19,
my God shall supply all your need.
Ah,
yeah. You can
give
just
Philippians 4:9.
Yes. Yes, yes. If you don't have a specific, you can give them Philippians 4:9. Or brilliant, or you can give them Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32 and 33. So you can give them any verse. Yes, Pastor Farah.
I think what the prayer intercessor would do is to familiarize his or herself with certain Bible passages that are promises and that give reassurances to people.
Yes.
And once you have those Bible passages in your mind or at your disposal, you can easily go to one of them as a point.
Brilliant.
When you quote the scripture, you would quote the scripture that would bring encouragement, motivation to the person.
Excellent. Because what Pastor Ferrari is saying, the closer the scripture is to the particular need, greater is the conviction. Are you with me? So what you can do in preparing, you can sit down and make a list of, okay, text that deals with healing, text that deals with cleansing, text that deals with guidance, and you make a list of them so you have them readily available in your Bible and all of the intercessors would get to know them. So you can make a list of them, you know? So, and you practice them, and every night as you practice, then it becomes part of you and you don't have to think anymore about them. Yeah, so that's good. Any other question? Okay, I want to demonstrate one more time for the visitors who have come for the first time. I want to demonstrate how do you pray for people in the prayer room. How do you pray for people in the prayer room? So, sister, I'm going to use you to demonstrate because you're a very good student and I'm going to use you. So, mother, I want you to take her outside. Take her on the outside as she comes to the prayer room. All right, I'm going to demonstrate how. Yeah, so take her take a little out on the outside. Yeah. And this is how you pray for the people in the prayer room when they come. Okay, so she's you bringing her to the prayer room, so come with her, yes? Lovely, all right. So she's a visitor, she comes to the prayer room. Excellent, thank you. Okay, lovely. So she comes to the prayer room and I ask her tonight. I say, friend, welcome to the prayer room, because these are all the intercessors. This is the prayer room, okay? And she comes to the prayer room and I say, friend, welcome to the prayer room. These are the intercessors who have been praying for people night after night, and God has been answering the prayer. Now, I'm not going to ask her, why did you come to the prayer room? Do you have problems? Do you have cancer? Oh, do you want to get married? That's not my business. I'm not going to ask those questions. I'm simply going to ask her this question. Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
To resolve our conflict that's been in my life a long time.
Okay, you heard? I asked the question. What would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? Everybody practice that question. Let me hear you. No, let's go together. Friend. Together, a little more energy. What would you like Jesus to do for you to? One more time. It's a very powerful question, because the question presupposes that you cannot do anything, these intercessors cannot do anything, but Jesus can do everything. Are you with me?
Yes.
You put the question transfers the person's faith from himself to Christ. So let's practice again. Friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight?
I'm having a great conflict and I would like Jesus to resolve it for
her. Okay, she's having a great conflict and she would like Jesus to resolve the conflict for her. So you go to the Bible, and you find an appropriate text that deals with conflict, okay? An appropriate text that deals with conflict. And you probably can go to Acts chapter 10, where Peter said to Cornelius, God has shown me that there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, that all people are equal, and you read that text for her. Now, in case you can't find one, I can just read for her this one. He says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early in the morning will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land." Do you believe that God is able to satisfy the longing of your soul? You believe that. Okay. So she says, yes, the Lord is able to satisfy the longing of my soul. The Lord is able to satisfy my longing for resolution to a conflict that I have. She says, yes, I believe. That's key. Once she expresses faith in God's promise to solve the conflict, that's the key to the solving of the problem and towards spiritual healing. And so we're going to pray for her. The prayer will have three parts. Ask God to forgive her for her sins, ask God to strengthen her faith, and then ask God to resolve the conflict. Okay, that's three parts of the prayer. So we're going to pray. So intercessors, mother, please come. You are the intercessors. We're going to put our hands upon her. Please come. Yes?
Nora.
Uh-huh. Okay, we place our place your hands upon her, right? Lovely.
Am I an intercessor? Am I a...
We're playing for now, but you can put your hand upon. Yes, yeah, okay, just for now, yeah. She's very specific. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for a friend who have come to the prayer room tonight. We pray, dear Lord, that you would forgive her for all of her sins. Cleanse her, make her a clean vessel in your hands tonight. We pray, oh God, that you would strengthen her faith to believe that God says early in the morning she should seek him, for her soul thirst and long after him. So tonight, Lord, I pray that her faith in God's promise would be strong. She would trust the Lord absolutely to solve the conflict that now exists in her life. And now tonight, Lord, we present this conflict before you. Whatever the conflict is, we pray, the Lord, that you will dissolve the conflict, dismantle the conflict. Whoever is causing the conflict, oh God, I pray that you would bring understanding to their minds, that they will be able to see how to solve the conflict intelligently. Tonight, I pray that you will call the friend and said to that friend, "Friend, I know there was a conflict between both of us, but tonight God has shown me how to solve the conflict. I have forgiven you for whatever you have done, and tonight the conflict is solved in my heart. Thank you, oh God, for solving this conflict in Jesus' name. Amen."
Amen.
All right, now that's the prayer. Now, she's going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking God for solving the conflict. Respond.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer and that you are dependable and you're trustworthy. And I believe by faith that you can but you have promised to resolve this conflict. Ask these things in the magnificent name of your Son Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So watch this. Look at this. I want to show you a very important principle. When she came to the prayer room, she told me she wants God to resolve a conflict, right? Now, how did I confront the conflict? I confront the conflict with the scriptures, okay? I gave her the scriptures. One, that's supernatural. Scripture is supernatural. Attacking the conflict in her mind. Then secondly, I gave her prayer. See, that's another supernatural power. Then the Holy Spirit comes and hover over her mind like this. All right. And then she responds. After I have given her these three things, she responds and thank God. So she came to the prayer room with her mind like this. Everybody put your hand like this. Low receptivity. After I gave her the scripture, after I prayed for her, after the Holy Spirit came upon her, she came like this. You see? High receptivity. So say it with me. Low receptivity. High receptivity. Together. Low receptivity. High receptivity. Now with this high receptivity, look at what we're going to do. You take her to sit up front. You take her to the evangelistic meeting. Okay, imagine the evangelistic meeting or your small group you are having, whatever. You take her to the meetings. So she sits in the meeting with her mind like this, open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. She sits there. And let's say, example, the meeting is over in that tent. Okay, this is where the preacher is preaching over here. This is the prayer room, and over there is the evangelistic meeting. So she comes in at the time of the song service, and they're singing, "It's a great change since I was born. It's a great change since I was born. It's a great change since I was born. It's a great change since I was born." So she's happy because her mind is open, all right? Now the preacher stands up now and he's ready to preach. I'm showing you how prayer works in evangelism. And the pastor opens his Bible and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, being justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he does three things for you. One, he justifies you. Two, he gives you access to his forgiveness. Three, he gives you peace. All those who love Jesus have access to the Father's forgiveness. All those who have loved Jesus have access to mansions in heaven. All those who love Jesus have access to a new life in Christ. All those who love Jesus have access to salvation, where you will live for eternity. How many today love Jesus? Raise your hands. Amen. All those who love Jesus, please stand. Amen. Everybody standing. Tonight, Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." How many would like to be saved when Jesus comes? Raise your hands. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to call all those who want to be saved and be baptized with Jesus one of these days. I'm going to invite you to the altar to indicate to Jesus your decision to be baptized one of these days. Jesus is calling you, mother, father, young lady. Jesus is calling you. I will tell you when to come. Amazing grace, that save a wretch. I once was lost,
but now I am found.
Tonight, I am calling specifically all those who love Jesus and want to be baptized with him one of these days. Come now. Come. God bless you. Come. I'm waiting for three more persons. God bless you. Come. God bless you. God bless you. Who will be the next? Two more for the Lord. Come. I'm waiting. Two more persons. Come. God bless you. Come. God bless you. Who will be the last? One more for Christ. God bless you, sir. God bless you. 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 Now, what do you observe? What do you observe? Who was the first person who came?
The new person that came in.
Who was the first person who came?
The
the person who we prayed for in the prayer room. Why? Because remember I told you she came like this in the prayer room, but she, high receptivity. So that when I begin to preach, because the Holy, we prepared her in the prayer room with the scripture, with the Holy Spirit, and with prayer, she has high receptivity. When the pastor makes the call, all those who go to the prayer room will be baptized. Listen to me. I'm telling you from experience. I'm not guessing. If 100 persons come to your prayer room, you will baptize anything like 90 of them. If 30 come, you will baptize like 20. If 40 come, you will baptize like 35. Why? Because the purpose of the prayer room is to increase the receptivity to the gospel. So let me illustrate. Pastor Ferrari, come. Thank you. Go back to your seat. Let me illustrate in the next 5 minutes. Pastor Ferrari, please come. Let me illustrate why it's so powerful. Okay? Look at this. I need a pen. Anybody have a pen? Okay. So look at this. When she came to the prayer room, this represents sin. Watch this. We only have 5 more minutes, so be with me. 5 more minutes. This represents sin. When she came to the prayer room, her mind is like this. Right, okay? Mind like this. And she told me about a conflict, okay? She told me about a conflict, but I cannot see the sin. I cannot see the sin that is causing the conflict, okay? I cannot see. But she told me that she has a... Yeah. Right. She told me of the conflict. So, the mind, she came with her mind closed. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, if I gave her $1 million, would I see the sin? No. If I gave her food, would I see the sin? No. I cannot see it. But because the sin is supernatural, I need supernatural power. So what? When she came to the prayer room with her mind closed, like, and she told me of a conflict, I didn't ask her what the conflict is. That's my business. So I confronted the conflict with the Bible. So first I gave her the Bible. You see? The Bible. After I gave her the prayer. Then the Holy Spirit came down. You see? The mind. Ah! You can see. The sin is now exposed. Can you see? The sin is now exposed. So she sits in the meeting. She sits in the meeting with the sin exposed like this to God. To God, not to me, to God. And then the pastor comes now. The pastor comes with the Bible. And he's preaching the word of God. And you remember the Bible is a two-edged sword. Cutting asunder. Cutting whatever is in the way. Whatever is in my... The Bible cuts. Are you with me? So the pastor begins to preach. He begins to cut. 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 I see? And the sin... And the word of God is planted in the mind. Are you seeing this? And so the person comes to Christ in baptism. So the purpose of the prayer room is to open the mind. To open the mind so that the Holy Spirit has access. And the word of God has access to the human mind to begin to the transformation process. Everybody who comes to your prayer room, everywhere I've gone, and we conducted the prayer room. We were in Mexico preaching, and lots of people come to Christ. In Inter-America, where I'm from, we baptize a lot of people. You say, well, Pastor, Canada is different. You can baptize so many people in Canada. The issue is not about the context in which we live. The issue is sin. Is there sin in Canada?
Yes.
Is there sin in the United States?
Yes.
Is there sin in Mexico? Yeah, it's the same. Everybody is the same. So the issue is not the context, because Canada may be different from men. No, that's not it. The issue is sin. And therefore the church in Canada need to resort back to the power of the intercessory prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the scriptures. If we give people nice PowerPoint and nice programming and nice songs, that will not convert anybody. The church must, you need to be organized. When you have an evangelistic meeting, you need to organize a powerful prayer ministry team. The first thing to organize an evangelistic campaign, whether you organize a campaign for the city, a citywide campaign, the first thing to organize, especially if you go into the city, you should have at least 50 intercessors. Pitch a tent only for intercessors. And all the visitors must go into that prayer room to be prayed for, and then take them to listen to the preacher every night. I can assure you, you will baptize hundreds of people. I do it in England. Every time I go to England, England is a very difficult place. When you go to people's home, they ask you, who is God? What has God done for me? Very secular. They have no desire for God. But when I go to England and I organize the prayer team, all the visitors have to go to the prayer room. We pray for them, read the scripture, pray for them. The Holy Spirit comes down upon them, and then they come to listen to me. And when I present the word of God, just the pure word, cutting through the heart, cutting through the, and I make the call, the Holy Spirit brings them. Won't you say amen? That's what we need to resort back to here in Canada. Whether they are Chinese, we have Chinese coming to Christ in Santo Domingo. Lots of people, Chinese coming to Christ. They are planting the Chinese church in Canada. If you come tomorrow morning, I'll show it to you. I forgot my power, my cord in the hotel, and I have no power. I can't show you. So that this is what my appeal to you, intercessors. Listen to me. Listen to the man of God. When you are part of a prayer ministry team, you live long. When you're part of a prayer ministry team, God blesses you. When you're part of a prayer ministry team, you have tremendous authority. Amen?
Amen.
You can speak in the name of God and God acts for you. When you're part of a prayer ministry team, you can grow your church, grow your congregation, grow your local church through the ministry of intercessory prayer, the word of God, and the Holy Spirit. I can assure you, each of you who are here belong to different churches. You can increase the membership of your local church in the next 10 years by, you can triple the membership of your local congregation in the next 10 months if you would organize ministry prayer. Example, you can begin now. When you go back, ask your pastor, tell your pastor that you want the best room in the church to be the prayer room. You decorate it nicely, and every Sabbath, when visitors come to your prayer room, when visitors come to your church, half an hour before your pastor preach, before the pastor preaches, you take them to the prayer room. You pray for them, okay? You pray for them, and then you bring them to sit right up front before the pastor preaches, okay? Sit up front, and you can have members sitting there, and sit up front. And when the pastor makes the call, may not be for baptism, but maybe to consecrate your life to Christ one of these days, they will come. And they will come back the next Sabbath. Once you take them to the prayer, you begin to open their minds towards the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And when you have an evangelistic campaign, you will organize it in a more elaborate way. So you can begin right now in your local congregation. Organize a prayer team. Train them. Remember, I gave you this manual. How many of you got this? How to train them? At the back of it, go to the last page. The last page shows you. Page 16. Page 16 gives you the curriculum. Page 16, there is the curriculum for training the intercessors. You didn't get a copy? Okay. You have a question? Okay, I'm going to take it. Page 16 gives you the curriculum for training the intercessors. Here it is. So you train the intercessors in two stages, theology and methodology. Don't just give them methodology. You must first give them the theology of prayer. They must understand the biblical foundation and the principles of prayer, and then you train them in the methodology. Everything for the training is in this booklet. This looks very simple, but this is one of the most powerful book written on prayer and evangelism. We use it around the world for the training of intercessors in Australia, in Africa, and other places. Okay, this is very powerful. So everything you need for the training of the intercessor is here.
And how do you do that? What does that mean, module and stuff?
Big pardon? How do you get
this module? Where do the modules come from? It's this module that
I'm on page 16?
Yeah. This here. Right here. Oh, this.
Where do you get that from?
Is that in the book?
Yes, this is it. What is here is in the book.
Yeah,
so example, the theology, the theological assumption of prayer is the first page of the book. It's in here. It's the omniscience, is all sufficient, is all of it is in here. Okay, let me give an example. Principles that, look at it, PMBF, what it says, yeah, no, yeah, 002. Okay, principles governing intercessory prayer. Look at it, it's right here on page 4. No, this is not. I'm not laughing. Is that? It's not a page. It's the course number.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You get me? You get me? It's the course number. It's the title of the course. Yeah, and the number of the course. So you see, page, I'm 002. You go on page 4. You find the instructional material. You see it? On page page 4. Yeah, page 4. You see the six principles there? No, I'm working with mother. Did you see the six principles?
I like everything simple.
Okay, yes.
I would put whatever, like,
yes, because you are in the university of prayer. It's at a different, this is at a different level, you know, because you are going back to train others, you know, so I'm giving it to you at a different level. You see, so this is the curriculum of intercessory prayer for evangelism. And you have the course number, and it's very impressive. And you see, you can train everybody. It's the University of Prayer. Before I take your mother, let me take him. Yes.
What is saying there? Is this something where, like, every Sabbath, that Shabbat will be taking place? Because, like, every Sabbath, there's visitors coming to the church.
Yes.
Is this something like every Sabbath, like, they're supposed to that visitors to the prayer and prepare them for when the pastor preaching, that not every Sabbath, at least, these are the
So what I'm saying to you, to put you immediately into practicing this new methodology and skill, I am ask the pastor and your church board to identify a prayer room in the church. Decorated that place nicely and so forth. They still want to use it for children's section, but when it comes for the prayer time, you fix it up nicely. And all of the visitors, half an hour before pastor preaches, while announcement and everything is going on, you take all of the visitors and you take them to the prayer room and you pray for them. What I'm just said is for every Sabbath, and I'm saying in addition to that, when you're preparing for an evangelistic campaign, it will be more elaborate. But to get you into the mood of it, to get you into the practicing it, and don't wait until an evangelistic campaign comes, you can begin with all the visitors that come every Sabbath. Okay,
yeah.
Brilliant point, sister. And then I take you, pastor. I take her, and then I come to you. Yes. Yes, everything in the curriculum is in this. Everything is there, right here. I designed it in that way so that you don't have to go to any extra book. If you want to go to extra books, fine. But what the basic things that you need to function is in this little booklet here. Yeah, Elder, Pastor.
When you say visitors, I don't know if you mean all visitors, because if there are visitors that come to your church who you already know are Seventh-day Adventist Christians, but it comes from a different province, a different community, a different city, and they just come to visit because they have children there and they have relatives there.
No, this is for people who are not yet baptized.
Who are not yet baptized.
Brilliant. Good question.
So how do you present this to them when they come in the door, say brother, sister, like,
okay.
How do you get them here?
How you get them to a brilliant question. Here's what you say. You say, good morning, friend. We are delighted to have you at our church today, and we want you to give us the opportunity. Hear my word. We want you to give us the opportunity to pray for you today, that God would bless you, God would protect your children, God would give you financial prosperity. Would you be kind enough to walk with us to the prayer room so that we can pray for you? You heard my word. Would you be kind enough? Say that to the person next to you. To give us the opportunity to walk you into the prayer room. And very likely, very few people will resist that. Would you be kind enough? Okay, so that's how you get them in there. All right, that's how you get them into the prayer room to pray for you. So you say, good morning, friend. We're happy that you're at our church today, and we want you to give us the opportunity. Watch this. We want you to give us the opportunity so that we can pray for your children, pray for your husband, pray for your family, pray for your protection, pray for your prosperity. And so would you be kind enough to give us the opportunity to pray for you in our prayer room? And he said, yes, and they walk with you. Okay? That's how you get them into the prayer. Very, very effective, mother. And I'm telling you, all the visitors who come to your church, if they come regularly, they will be baptized in a few weeks' time. Okay, thank you very much. Let's stand for prayer. We thank so many of you for coming. By the way, we had all of our pastors this morning at 8 o'clock. We spent nearly an hour with our pastor. The president was here. So you have no problem when you go back to your churches, because your pastors, we explained this to them and other things, and we gave them the copies of this. So it's good. It's a new revolution. What do you say for the conference? A new revolution. And when you go back to your pastor, telling me what you want to do in the prayer ministry, how you want to grow the church through the ministry of intercessory prayer. And tonight, your assignment before you receive your diploma on Sabbath is that I want you to find four persons on the campus and say, go to them and say, friend, what would you like Jesus to do for you tonight? Listen to their response. Read a verse of scripture to them or quote it from memory. Then pray for them. Yeah? Pray for the person and have them respond back, thanking God for the response, and watch the impact. Practice your skill. Begin to master it. And then you become great intercessors here in this Alberta conference. Some of you will go on to Ontario conference to train other intercessors. It's a great ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Pastor Ferrari, would you pray for us?
Loving Father, we thank you, dear God, that you called us from the world of darkness into your marvelous light, so that we can show forth the praises of him who has called us from darkness to light. We thank you, dear God, that you've made us co-laborers with you in this great plan of redemption.
Amen.
As we have acquired the skills necessary for intercessory prayer, we beg, dear God, that you motivate us to go back to our churches and implement these principles. We pray your blessing upon Pastor Telmac and his wife as they continue to minister to people and your church around the world. May you grant them great blessings and success in their ministry. Bless their family, we pray, in not the name but the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a pleasant evening. See you tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wow. It's so nice to take a seat. People from the Bible.
Thank you. Yes.
Do you remember us?
Yes, I remember you. You look familiar. God bless you. Where did we meet first?
I'm so looking forward to see you.
In Paris with the Jewish ministry.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, when we saw your face there.
Yes.
We would have been here this week. We had to go home. We were here in the weekend.
Okay. Good. Yes, I remember the face. That's why I was calling you pastor, you see.
No, it's good to see you.
Yes, yeah. So how is your Jewish ministry here in Canada?
Well, developed a bit.
Yeah, we've been, since November, you know, one of the books that Pastor, you met Olaf Klassen? He's here. He's doing security.
Yeah, I met him.
Anyway, I was reading through this book by Marvin Wilson, and one of the things he says, you know, if you want to be involved in Jewish work, one of the things he says, you got to go where they are. You can't expect them to come to you.
No, they will not. It's not happening.
So we've been going to a synagogue. Well, first of all, I called up this school one day, and because I was told that there might be a possibility of doing substitute teaching there, and I was impressed to ask, do you have Hebrew lessons at your school? No, we don't, but Beth Shalom Synagogue has Hebrew lessons. In fact, they're starting a course very soon.
Liturgical Hebrew.
Liturgical, biblical Hebrew and Judaism. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to get in touch with them. So I got in touch with them, and they were going to charge so much, but thankfully, because we don't have a big budget, we don't have a Bill Gates budget. I said, can my wife and I come together for the price of one? Oh, yeah, no problem. You know, so they let us come. So we've been going there Sunday after Sunday. They have it on Sundays. And after we got introduced and we got acquainted a little bit more, we've been going to some events on, you know, like when they have their high holy days and so on.
Or some lectures, like, because of our, we still have duties at our Camrose Church, which is an hour away. So we would go there and do our Sabbath school, and then we'd rush off up there and get there after their lunch. And they have discussions after their lunch.
Yeah, after the Kiddush lunch, either the cantor or the rabbi or a visiting rabbi will have a discussion. They'll have a lecture and then an interaction, like a yeshiva. So we've been going to all of these, and you know, so we're bridging across the gap, making connections,
brilliant.
Making friends, and trying to win. Not converting, but they know we're very, very interested in. And I wanted. I'm not going, but John is going down to the ASI and to the Jewish ministries.
It's a workers' meeting. Are you going to that workers' meeting in Houston?
No. Mm-mm.
Anyway, okay. I'm not going because my brother is having his 80th birthday. But I know John's going to tell. But I'm just so excited because Olaf is saying there's kind of a, not a dichotomy, but there's people doing the messianic
ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But then that doesn't reach these people.
Mm.
I was saying, well, if we hadn't had that exposure to the Messianic ministry and some of the liturgy there and just getting, you know, and the things they've been doing here at Berman,
mm-hmm.
we would have felt like fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
But because we
had the exposure and the knowledge,
that,
yes.
In fact, the rabbi said, what did he say at one point? He said, you know more about our religion than
and then some of our own people.
Very good, very good. Very
so you know what they call us now. And we were with the Judaism 101 with the cantor is actually a conversion class. And there were four young ladies there who were either had husbands or boyfriends who were Jewish, right? And they were planning on getting married or whatever. So anyway, the one young man after, you know, he says, well, why are you coming? I said, well, I want to know about our Jewish roots, and I really want to learn more.
Learn about the Hebrew mind, you know.
And then
and we don't want to come across as missionaries because that just...
Yeah. You're an insider.
Yeah. So then, and then when we finished, another young man, he says, are you going to keep coming?
He was Jewish. He's a lawyer, that man, but he wanted to know if he... Yeah, and you know, we've had some interesting interactions with an older lady. She's lonely, you know. And so when you meet someone that's lonely, you know, you don't push.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be careful with your terminology and how you speak, as you know. And, you know, but the Lord has been blessing, and I'm looking forward to... Yeah, so we continue to go.
It's so... I got inspired because of when we went to the Congress and the people in England were saying, well, we're going to their functions and we're getting to know them. And yeah, so this seemed like, wow, this is
Yeah, you have to be an insider. You have to cannot be afraid. You have to go inside, learn, and get acculturized and, you know, learn. I look for the lonely persons, as you said, and begin to expose them.
It wasn't hard to
look. One of the things she was very friendly.
She just latched on to us. But what happened was, you know, we go in there and we bring our lunch, you know. And so we would go to a park, which is very near the synagogue. Well, that's where she goes with her little dog and her she's got her bags and she's got her walker and she sits in the park. So we came and we sat with her, you know. And so
she keeps wanting to meet with us, which is great. And then there's another gentleman. His dad was Jewish, but he went to the classes, you know, some classes sometime before we did, and he joined. But it's interesting, some of the interactions that we had, I was talking to the rabbi, because it's not that we want to convert to Judaism, but it's just being able to become, we were sort of interested in becoming a member, but you can't become a member unless, you know, I was talking to the cantor, and I said, how is it that a Jewish person can become can become a Buddhist, and they can still be a Jew, you know, they can still be Jewish. I said, but if they become a Christian, then they can't.
Yeah, it's a problem even when they go back home, they would not get the benefits of a Jewish home.
But they don't lose their identity. That's part of the problem. It's helping them to recognize that they don't and they have a misconception about Paul too.
Paul
did away, you know, with the law. No, he didn't do away with the law, but of course they don't know unless they, you know, they read and study.
Yeah, the whole concept of the rejection, they don't know.
So it takes a long time, you know. He says if you're going to be in it, you have to be long term.
Yeah, long term. You have to be an insider gradually.
You find little ways, just a little mentioned, like a very unobtrusive, like we were, the rabbi had a discussion on the parasha for the week, and it was with Bilam or Balaam, right?
Mm.
And so... He was trying to use a certain technique to get people's minds stirred up, and he was saying, well, what's the good things about Balaam? Everybody thinks it's all negative, you know? Well, there really wasn't, but he was trying to get us, you know, that's a Jewish thing I was reading somewhere, you know, rabbis have that. Anyway, I said, well, he did bring forth a prophecy, a very important prophecy, you know? And he looks at me, you know, because he knows, I mean, he knows we're, you know, we're very devout. He called us very devout Christians, right? Rabbi said that once, right?
But the cantor,
he introduced us, right?
The cantor, because I asked him about membership, but the cantor called us righteous Gentiles.
And he says, you could help, he says. He's looking for people to read, you know, because very few people know how to get up and read the scriptures, you know. So I'm not sure what he wants us to do, but we're going to take the whole course again for now. I said,
well, we asked him, as alumni, can we come back and do the course again, you know? So we want to keep going. And then, you know, whatever events, because now we're on their email list, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they tell us, let us know when things are happening.
Yeah, and the lady who is...
And she's very friendly. She's the director there.
She works there, and she's, yeah, director. She's organizing
very
events.
Very nice. She always
Very lovely
us.
Lady from Ukraine. And she wanted to befriend us on Facebook, and, you know, so we're
Something
excited.
Else that I thought was kind of interesting, the cantor, because sometimes he replaces the rabbi if the rabbi is gone. And he was doing a study on just one day, just not like we did with Job with Clifford Goldstein. Remember that?
Mm-mm.
Quarterly with Clifford Goldstein. Of course, Clifford Goldstein is Jewish, but it never occurred to me. Well, I didn't want to push it, you know, but later after we were done with that, I approached him and said, I have a study on I know you're interested in Job, I said, and I have a study here. And it's by a Jewish man, Clifford Goldstein. But I said, I'll be up front. I said, he's a believer in the Messiah. And so, you know, I think he took it reluctantly, but he took it. But he says, Jesus is not the Messiah.
But we have a good
right off like
rapport,
that. But, you
know,
we can still interact.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful.
Huh? Yeah, you have to be sensitive and be an insider. Let me pray for your ministry. Give me your both names again.
John and Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Pastor John and Sister Catherine. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you that you have placed upon their hearts a passion for the Jewish people. So, dear Lord, I pray that you would grant them spiritual discernment to be able to discern people who are receptive to the truth.
Amen.
Guide them through the power of the Holy Spirit to persons who are receptive. And Lord, give them the understanding how to present, how to contextualize the truth to these persons, so they can come to know truly that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yes.
Bless Pastor John and Sister Catherine, and Lord, as they interact with the rabbis, give them access to the people.
Yes.
Give them access to the leadership. Amen. Give them access to Jewish communities. And Lord, I pray that next year they'll begin to see the fruit of the labor, to have the joy of seeing the first Jewish person come to Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And last Sabbath, I was visiting my sister in...
We're not keeping you from anywhere.
We have to go to our next meeting, so...
Oh, you have another meeting?
The evening's meeting.
Oh, yeah, it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and then we have to go for supper, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just quickly, last Sabbath we were at... I was visiting my sister, who lost her husband recently, just to be there, comfort her and encourage her. And I thought, hey, while we're here, why don't we go to the one of the synagogues in Calgary? That's connected with
it's a conservative
synagogue. So, and was it
Kalabat?
No, it was Friday evening.
Yeah,
no,
Kalabat Shabbat.
Yeah, Kalabat Shabbat.
Oh, Kalabat.
We were getting there a little bit late, but nevertheless, you know, we it was interesting. But we didn't find them. It's a big synagogue compared to the one there. Probably more members. I don't know, but. Anyway, but we didn't find them as well. It's our
receptive.
First time, as
but
receptive
no, the
and
one
warm,
the one in Calgary is. You can see that the building is very very. You can see there's a lot of rich
people in
people
there.
Whereas the one in Edmonton is, they could use some. What do you call it?
Well, they need young blood. I mean, another thing is it's across the like you know. We see more older people. Sometimes you go to churches and there's mostly old people.
Same, having the same struggle.
So it needs an injection of new ideas, new blood, the younger generation,
well,
the younger
Jewish. Rabbi he has a younger family. I think his boy is 13, his oldest boy. And he's only been there how long? Not that long.
A few years.
Yeah,
though,
anyway, but he's very much into interfaith and... You know, it's interesting, we went to one Kalabat Shabbat at the old folks, they have an old, you know, seniors home right nearby, and you know, we were used to the Messianic, you know, and we thought, oh, they're going to, you know, sing, or no, they do just a very, it's much more, he was saying, yeah, it's much more, conservatives are much more staid, you know.
Okay.
But
he does try and get them going a little bit, but another thing he said I wanted to share with you was, he, you know, sometimes he'll acknowledge something, you know, from Christianity or, you know, and he said, well, you know, Jesus was a rabbi, and he was, he said a lot of good things, but we don't quote him because the Christians took him.
Then the last one of the last meetings we went to, it was a historical thing because it was related to the 150th anniversary of
the history of Judaism in the Edmonton area.
There's a bust of bronze bust of this Catherine. We were passing by there, and she said, "Why don't you take a picture?" His name is Cristal. So I said, "Get near his profile." So.
I keep telling him.
He almost look like you.
He should get tested.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Hope it wasn't recorded. You'll have to eliminate.
Yeah, no, but don't trim at all. It's all good.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.